When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Coming up on today's episode, we look back at the Jets' setback against the Predators, plus potential contract numbers for a pending Jets free agent.
Hello, everybody. Recording live from somewhere.
What's good and welcome to another episode of Skates and Plates on the Hockey Podcast Network. I'm your host, Brandon Rewicki. You can follow me on Twitter at Brandon_Rewicki or the podcast at Skates Plates Pod. All right, let's get right into it and head into the weekend. Thank you guys for stopping by once again. Pretty light week for the Winnipeg Jets in terms of news and game action, but we'll get into all of that with you guys right now. And doing so with me once again is CJOB's Tyson Rewicki. Tyson, how are we doing today?
Doing good. It's the weekend, baby. Can't complain. They let us get to Friday again.
They said they wouldn't, but they did it again. I'm doing fine too, by the way. I know you just refused to ask me, but
how are you doing?
I'm okay. Yeah, I kind of burnt supper, so I'm in a pretty. I'm rattled. I'm not happy, actually. I'm not doing good. I'm bad. There's just no, like, there's not, like, once it happened, then I just compounded mistake after mistake, and it just
snowballed.
It snowballed really quickly. Yeah, it was ugly. It was an ugly performance out there. But I guess you could say it was just my way of honoring the Winnipeg Jets and what they did Wednesday night. Let's get right to it here. 4-2 loss to the Preds, and that definitely flattered the home side in terms of how that game looked and played out. Nashville, full marks for picking up that victory. But having said that as well, Tyson, I feel like it's a pretty easily describable loss for the team just by using three words. They're sick as hell. Like, the Flues ravaged the entire team. You're without your number one center. And boy, you found out the importance of Mark Scheifele pretty quickly in that one. But shorthanded and feeling like crap, yeah, that kind of looks like the team that we saw on Wednesday night.
Yeah, like it was, I mean, Nashville, they were just controlling the pace of play that whole game. Like that was, Nashville came in with a playoff mentality, 100%. And that showed, like they really did. They didn't give the Jets D-men any time to make any sort of plays coming out of their own zone. It was just constant pressure. And they were just, they locked it down. Like the Sabres, they're well-coached, well-organized team that's really coming into their own right now.
You said and, the Sabres?
Sorry. I mean, the logos sometimes, like they get a little bit blurred. But yeah, like, I mean, just watch the Sabres Islanders game, so they're heavy.
Actually, they are kind of on fire. The Sabres are pretty good,
but like the Predators were, they just dominated every aspect of that game last night. And like you mentioned, it shows how big of a hole this lineup has when Mark Scheifele's not in it. And you know, obviously it's nice that it's just a flu, so it's not a long term issue going forward. But I honestly don't know if we've been giving Mark Scheifele enough credit throughout this year.
Bingo.
He's been an absolute monster. And I even think that, you know, we've been having this argument back and forth where Kyle Connor and Nick Ehlers, like who plays better, like who should be on the top line. And maybe both of them are just byproducts of Scheifele's play this year. Like that could be a possibility too, because neither of them, when they had the opportunity to kind of, you know, pull their bootstraps up and carry a line or kind of dominate and kind of put the Jets offense on their back, they both kind of shrunk under the spotlight in that game. And I mean, it's only one game, but we've been seeing kind of similar patterns with these two over the last couple of weeks. So, you know, it's really starting to wonder like how big of an impact does Mark Scheifele have on the play of his wingers? And I think the answer to that is absolutely a major impact. It doesn't matter who's on his line this year.
Yeah, no, it's a fair point. And I agree with your sentiment overall of, you know, Mark Scheifele's had a really underrated season, which I kind of, you know, like Hellebuck's the Vezina front runner. Morrissey is Norrissey once again. But I mean, he's really been the engine for this team, especially with what they have up front right now, where, you know what? And as far as the defensive side of things goes with him too, there's been no issues there. Effort's been fantastic. And yeah, without a steady group of line mates, he's had shifting wingers all year long. He's doing his usual point of game business, which is good for, what is that, 16th, 17th in the NHL among centermen this year? So yeah, he's been tremendous. And what I mean, you look, this team isn't, even with Monahan coming into the picture now, isn't the greatest group of centermen in the NHL. And so when you lose somebody like Scheifele, even with, you know, Namestnikov being able to fill in when time asks for it, it's just a major step down. And yeah, getting Scheifele back as soon as possible is going to be mandatory to catch Dallas and Colorado for first in the Central there. What do you make of this potentially being a playoff preview, Tice? Because, I mean, right, this is crazy too, as it stands right now. Even if the Jets won the Central, they would face the Vegas Golden Knights. But it does look like it's going to be, as far as the two wild cards, well, I guess the Kings could drop down too. But, I mean, the Preds are going to occupy one of the wild card spots. So there is the chance that it could be Jets-Preds round one. I guess, what did you see out of Nashville? And should we be scared? Like, it's just one game, but ooh, they look pretty fast out there. And you want to talk about underrated figures in the NHL this season, Tice. I also don't think it's a coincidence that Andrew Brunette has the Predators humming and rolling right now, and the New Jersey Devils look like they don't know how to play hockey anymore now that Andrew Brunette is no longer the assistant coach out there in Jersey. But how scared on a level, on a scale of 1 to 10, what are we looking at with the Preds?
Out of pure fear factor, I'd honestly put it maybe like a 6.5, 7. Just because not necessarily that I think that there's a high likelihood that the Preds win. But, you know, it feels a little bit better. Like, there's a little less pressure if you're playing the Avs or Stars. You know what I mean?
Oh, is there?
You're expected to beat the Preds. And then they come in with that underdog mentality. And then when you're playing, if you're playing the Avalanche or Stars, you're kind of, you know, it's like, well, hey, you know, I don't know if a lot of people are going to be picking us to win this series. Like, maybe we come in and shock the world. But the Preds kind of have that, and it got mentioned on the broadcast a little bit, that they kind of have that St. Louis Blues vibe with them right now.
Really? I don't see that at all.
This is you doing your Preds, the
Preds are the great surprise of the 2020s in hockey.
I'm just going to say, was I wrong so far?
I mean, I guess you were slightly right. They're a wild card.
I was on the Preds all preseason. That was my bold prediction.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, that's fair. I guess I would have went Calgary over Nashville, and that went down the drain pretty quickly. Look, Nashville's a good team, and they're well coached, and they've got star talent. To me, it's a 5 at max on the fear factor. I know they outplayed the Jets and were more than deserving of winning that game. Probably should have been a 4-0 game. And all, if we're talking about, you know, the deserve to win meter, it was all the way in Nashville's favor in this one. But I mean, come on, their second line, Tyson, is Colton Sissons, Anthony Beauvillier, and Jason Zucker. Two of those guys weren't even on the team a week ago.
The Preds kind of match up. Like, they don't have as deep of a forward group as the Jets, nowhere near. But looking at from like the back end and goaltending, they both have like top 5 goalies. I won't go top 3. I don't think Saros is the top 3 goalie, but top 5 goalies, top 5 defensemen this year. And then some solid supporting defensemen on that cast that kind of that they're not world beaters, but they do a solid job. And then you have the top lineup there that's been killing it this year, and then kind of the supporting cast. Like, they almost remind me of the Jets team coming into the season. And so, like, I see some avenues where it scares me, just because that's the one team where they have the X factor, like the Jets, where a goalie can win them the series, in my opinion. I don't think Georgiev can win the Avs a series single-handedly, and I don't think Ottinger can win the series single-handedly for the Stars the way that he's played this year. So that's where I kind of, my fear kind of builds in, because there's certain avenues where you could see where the Preds could maybe pull off an upset. Whereas with the Avs and Stars,
For sure. Yeah. I don't disagree with that. When you have Saros, and then I would say Roman Josi at this point, I mean, point of game defenseman, he was all over the ice in that one. I mean, there's no other defenseman that, I mean, look, as great as, I mean, probably Hughes is doing a similar thing this year, but Josi is the Predators' offense. Like, he just, everything runs through him. He's just so unique in how dependent the team is on him to essentially do everything offensively. So it's always a little worrisome when you've got high-level star power in multiple different spots in your lineup. And I would put Philip Forsberg there. You want to talk about underrated yet again. To me, he's a superstar. I just think he's... I think once the playoffs roll around, it's going to be, okay, I can potentially take over a series. So they've got some high-level talent there. I actually don't think their supporting cast is anywhere near good enough, even if those guys go off, to polish off whoever it might be that they face in the opening round. But they got a good team. Yeah, they're good. But I still think seven games, I don't think Nashville's beating Winnipeg four times. So... I'm not too
scared. I agree. But regardless, you're going to be facing a tough team first round. And honestly, I think I'd be, if I had an ideal choice.
Well, really, you've only got three choices. It's going to be, if the Jets win the Central, it's going to be Nashville, LA, or Vegas.
And you know who I'm picking out of those three.
We want them. We want them there. We want them there. Come on.
And, like, realistically, though, like, it's – they don't have the goaltending. Like, Cam Talbot, Dave Riddick is playing meaningful games for the Kings right now. No disrespect to Dave Riddick, but
– oh, yeah, that wasn't disrespectful at all.
But then, like, even the D, like, I just don't – I don't see the King – the allure to the Kings this year. I think that they're a very, very beatable team. I think they're the most beatable team out of all the Western teams.
I might agree with that. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I could get on board with that. The only thing that kind of scares me is just that, and I know his season's been beyond nightmarish, but when PL Dubois is motivated and puts in a full effort, he's a great player. He would likely be motivated and put in a full effort against the Winnipeg Jets in a playoff series. That's the only if God forbid the Jets lose and he puts up like 8 points in seven games. But I would agree with that, you know, I mean, if you lose to Cam Talbot and Dave Rittich in a playoff series, I feel like you have no one to blame but yourself at this point in their careers. So that I would 1,000% agree. That would be the ideal playoff matchup. For me, yeah, I would go LA, Nashville, Vegas. Vegas, I might rather play Colorado or Dallas, to be honest, than go up against Vegas in round one, which is kind of terrifying. But hey, you finish first in the Central. That's an okay problem to have, to try to figure out who you beat after that. You're gonna have to beat good teams pretty much every series the way through out there in the West. So, we'll worry about that once we get there. But first little bit of a playoff preview, not the most convincing of efforts by the Jets and that 4-2 loss to the Nashville Predators. Next on tap for Winnipeg, a little bit easier for the club. Matchup at home against Anaheim, followed by a visit to Columbus on Sunday. So, yeah, you talk about worrying about facing a wildcard team in round one, picking up four points this weekend. That should be on the card for the Winnipeg Jets there. Before we go over to our last bit of business, Tice, the finger is up.
Do you think so? It's expected that LB is going to be starting on Friday.
I think they confirmed it.
Yeah, that's like the speak, right? Like, you know, I'm not trying to ruin any credibility here, Brent.
Okay,
but like, do you go back to back with LB on Sunday too?
Yeah,
against Columbus and give Helly some.
Oh, no, no. It's Friday. Friday, Sunday.
Friday,
right?
Sunday.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
I agree.
It's a perfect time to give Hellebuck. Like, there's not going to be many opportunities now, if any, to give Helly a full week off, essentially. Be a 6 days off. Take advantage of it. That's why you brought Bressois in, right? To give Hellebuck a breather. And I think Bressois 920 could handle Anaheim and Columbus, especially if he's great against Anaheim.
Yeah,
and then, yeah, throw him right back in there. Like, throw him a bone. Every other team in the NHL plays their backups multiple games in a row. It's not going to kill the Jets and Hellebuck to see LB get a couple of games in a row. So I like that there, Tice. Quickly now, let's wrap this up. I don't know if you saw this or not, Tyson, but this was an interesting little tidbit in Elliot Friedman's 32 Thoughts, which came out earlier today on Thursday. Should say 21 Thoughts. All right. But nonetheless, I'll just bring up the point here. He mentioned in one of his notes about Alex Killorn's previous four-year deal worth $6.25 million a season that he signed with the Ducks last year or this offseason, and how that's a target point for free agent wingers, and that number loomed very large over the Toffoli negotiations in New Jersey. And then he makes the point after that of Winnipeg was very aggressive on Toffoli and made sure they did what they could do to get him. So, putting two and two together as the Sherlock I am, what would you think, Tyson, if Tyler Toffoli's agent came to Chevy after the season and said, look, we got ourselves a deal here if you want it, four-year contract for my client at $6.25 million per season. He's 31 years old. Yes or no? Do we got a deal?
I don't love 4 years, but I'd probably bite the bullet. I think if you're serious about competing, then if a guy like Toffoli wants to stay with you, a proven playoff contender, and I know that there's some, he's not the greatest defensive player, but I mean, any kind of top-notch score, but like a higher end score, they're going to start costing that now. So in my opinion, if a guy like Toffoli wants to be in Winnipeg and the kicker is that fourth year, I think you bite the bullet. And once you get to maybe year three, year four, you reevaluate things and maybe you can make a move and ship off some money elsewhere. But I think I would bite the bullet on it.
Could you get 3 years, $6.5 million per season? You know what I mean? Like, is that possible and all that? That would be the perfect contract.
Yeah.
To keep that one to 3 years. But there is, it's funny that like and there's two different ways you can look at this too, right? Where say it was the 4 year, 6.25. One camp will say you've got McGroarty coming in, you've got Lambert coming in. Both of those could potentially be NHLers this upcoming season. Perfetti as well, going to be in the mix, obviously. There might not be a need for you to invest more on the wing there with those guys coming in. The flip side of that, though, would be because you've got those cheap guys coming in, you can afford to invest that on the wing there because you're paying essentially $1 million to two to three guys that might play significant minutes for your team. So that it is a tough one. What makes it even tougher, Tice, is as it stands right now, there's no logical solution or there's no ready fit for the second line center for this team next year. And obviously, in an ideal world, you pay somebody $6-7 million to fill that hole for the Jets next year. But I don't know who that is and if that's available to you. But if he likes it, the fit's good in the room, he's producing on the ice. Yes, it's not the greatest contract in the world, but Winnipeg has to look at this a little differently than other teams, Tice, right? And if you can keep him in the fold, I'm kind of with you on that one. I think you bite the bullet a little bit and hope that he can give you a good 2 to 3 years at the very least. So then you worry about year four once it gets there.
And to add on to that, like I'm a huge proponent of Perfetti's potential, Lambert's potential, and McGroarty's potential. But, you know, you do have to look through the lens of, you know, what if Perfetti has another season like this year? What if Lambert doesn't take the step right quite as soon as we wanted? What if McGroarty doesn't? And then all of a sudden you're left with a lot of young guys who are playing above their where they should be in their development, and
no safety
unravel. Yeah. So I think that you lock in Toffoli, and if those guys start to show that they can be more of a contributor than Toffoli throughout that duration of that contract, then you deal with that then. But I think you're putting a lot of, for a team that wants to compete and wants to sell tickets, I think that's a very foolish way to go about things, by kind of relying on some young guys to take steps when you're not sure. It's you're taking a gamble.
Yep, it could work, and it could blow up in your face like you see with a number of it. So, I mean, there's no right or wrong solution with this. To be honest, you can kind of talk me into either one, right? Like, if Toffoli's back, it's like, all right, we're good to go. If not, well, then we got to find a way to spend those dollars somewhere else.
That's what's the key.
Exactly. But what's pretty wild about just taking a look at everything to come here, Tice, there's the potential this is a wildly different looking team next year. I'm not saying like a bad team or whatever, but like you've got DeMello, UFA, Dylan, UFA. I mean, Nate Schmidt appears to be on the way out. Nick Ehlers has 1 year left on his deal. Like, what does the club do there exactly? Second line center as a whole? Is it Monahan? Is it somebody else? Like, there's a decent chance that this team looks radically different going into next season without even knowing how this season even plays out right now. So we'll see what happens there. But again, kind of like what we touched on, and I think Chevy nailed it and realized it, is you've got an opportunity this year. You don't know what next year's going to bring. So let's go after this year and we'll worry about the rest after that.
And just quickly, like this, that's what Chevy did a great job of keeping assets for the future to potentially make moves to bolster this team in the offseason. He added a lot of great pieces to this roster, and you go into next offseason, you still have the Montreal pick that, if let's say you use that and a high-end prospect, you still have your first next year and all your prospects. Like, you still have a lot of ammunition that, if need be, you can fall back on that and possibly make a move to get a number two center or a number two D.
I agree. But the good thing, Tice, is that we don't have to worry about off-season talk for quite some time. So we'll push that on the back burner, and we'll focus on the soon-to-be playoff push for the team as they continue to go toe-to-toe with Dallas and Colorado for tops in the Central Division, just 2 points separating those three teams. Thankfully, though, the Jets do have two in hand on Colorado and then three on hand in Dallas. But that'll do it for the episode here today. When we get back at it next week, Tuesday morning, we will break down those pair of games for you guys, like we mentioned, against the Ducks and Columbus. A great chance for the Jets to find themselves at the top of the division by the time we speak again. Until then, though, have a great weekend, everybody, and thank you so much for listening to another episode of Skates and Plates here on the Hockey Podcast Network. I'm your host, Brandon Rewicki, CJOB's Tyson Rewicki with us once again. Like I said, we'll be back at it Tuesday morning, breaking down games against Columbus and the Ducks. Have a great weekend, everybody. Stay safe. Have a good time. Talk soon. Peace.